Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Amen. What a wonderful morning. Good morning, everyone. Are you blessed? Amen. It's wonderful to be here, and I know that you're going to be blessed today. At least one yes. The rest can say amen. Amen. Praise God. Ruan, I think we can just drop the mic a little bit. Thank you. Amen. So let's go to the book of John 3, if you have your Bible here. And then I want to speak this morning on to move with the wind. To move with the wind. And we're gonna go through a section there in John chapter 3. But as we go there, let's just pray. Father, we just come this morning and we say thank you, Lord, for this morning and who you are, Lord, and what you do in our lives and through our lives. And Father, we just exalt you. We give you praise and we say thank you, Lord, that you're a good Father that loves us. And Father, that you have a hope and a future and thoughts of well-being and welfare over us. And Father, this morning we give you the praise and the honor. And we say, thank you, Lord, that you come and impart into our hearts and our spirits, Lord, this morning, that what you want to do. Be glorified in everything that we do. Be glorified with all who we are, Lord, because it's all of you. We are here this morning because of you and who you are. And we say, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you come with your presence and that we can be filled with the presence. Come on, have you ever thought of it that God came and said, I want to be among you. I come and make my dwelling place among my people. And that he says that I live inside of you. How conscious are you every day of that fact that God is within us? That he came to say, I lead you with my spirit and that I came to make my dwelling in you. That you are the crown of my creation and that I love being with you. God likes being in you even despite you. So, Father, we say thank you, Lord. We just honor your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. So, if you have your Bible, John 3, we're going to read from verse 2. And I'm going to share that what I believe God wants to do this morning and blow in. And John 3 is a discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus. Or are they talking and he's saying this? This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. It says, then the wind blows where it wishes. You can hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit. Amen. I want to speak about to move with the wind, to move with the wind. And the wind speaks of the Spirit of God, the breath of God. You can, the characteristics of wind is that we can hear wind, isn't it? It's tangible. We can feel the effect of wind. All right? If you just take your hand quickly and you just blow on it, you feel the effect of that. Come on. And so it is with the wind of the Holy Spirit. You can feel the Holy Spirit. You are able to perceive God in who he is and in that what he is, and the evidence is visible. But sometimes we don't know exactly what he says. It's the Spirit blows like the wind. We don't always know exactly how it works, or we don't always know the mind of God, but we can perceive him, isn't it? We can know where he is, and we know that God works. You can feel him. And I want to speak because the idea of wind is all over Scripture. The Bible speaks of wind in so many places. And wind is important, you know, not just in our lives and in the spirit, but for climate, for agriculture, it fertilizes certain things. Wind, without wind, things don't work. Come on. If you don't know it, I'm going to give you a little bit of a class today. It's from a form of energy to navigation. So it's from one form to a thing. So it's from nothing into an action that moves forward. So it's from nothing to action that moves forward. Even if you just think of your enjoyment, think about like windsurfing. You need wind. Come on. All right, we're not close to the coast, so maybe you don't know what's windsurfing. But you need wind for that. All right, wind's important. And wind doesn't just come. Because you say, you can't see wind and how it's produced or where it forms, but you can feel the effect of it. Is it? Okay. You guys, you look like sheep looking at a new gate and you don't know what to do with this gate. It's like, you can go through the gate this morning. So wind, let me tell you how wind's produced. Wind doesn't just exist, all right? Wind is the result of horizontal difference in air pressure because the sun heats the earth in different places on different temperatures. And that uneven differentiation causes wind to exist. It causes wind to start blowing. That becomes the sun, and that heat becomes the driving force for wind. And then the earth turns around its axis, you know that, ne? And that causes seasons as well. So we find wind in every season. And in every season where there's wind, the wind's not the same in every season, but we find winds in every season. The wind in summer is different from the wind in winter. But there's things, so there's a movement, and in the same way in the natural, and there's movement and there's wind in this in the natural, the Bible speaks about wind. And if you go, maybe if you take your e-sword or you can go and, you know, see a dictionary, you can go and look at wind, you're gonna see a lot of scriptures coming up. And when I went through all of that, most of the wind, or if it speaks about the east wind, is about God's judgment. It says God brought an east wind against Egypt, and an east wind bring all the plagues. An east wind bring all the locusts. God sent an east wind to actually bring hardships or uncomfort, you know, discomfort to Jonah when he flee from God. God sent an east wind. It says Pharaoh had a dream, and a scorching east wind came and on the ears and the blades of the grain. So every time we see that God made the east wind to blow to open the Red Sea for them to go through, but then it covered it. It washed away the Egyptians. Every time God does something, most of the times Job, when he comes and speaks about judgment, it says, and God sent an east wind. So the Bible speaks about winds. East wind, the north wind, the south wind. Interesting, south wind, most of the time speak about God's presence and his nature. The south wind. God speaks about the north wind, he brings it, and he says that Elijah and the wind blew and the rain stopped. When Noah was in the ark, it says, and God caused a wind to come to drive away the waters. So the whole time, wind is very prominent in the Bible, but wind causes things to shift or to move. Amen? All right, so that's the principle. We know wind, the Bible is full of stories of wind. And if we look again, just to recap, in the Greek, The word for wind or breath is pneuma. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word for wind is ruach. Amen? So when we start in Genesis now, and we quickly go through, we look at Genesis, it says that we see the earth was without form. It was empty and it was void. It was full of darkness. You know that part. And then it says what? It says, and in the deep of the face or on the earth, the ruach of God, the wind of God, the breath of God, the spirit of God was hovering, and then it started to produce something. So in Genesis, we see wind introduced, the breath of God being introduced. The spirit of God is present and something happens. Very quickly, we see God creates man and God forms man from the dust of the earth. And form is important because we say form to function. You are formed to function, but what's in the middle? Because you know now, when you formed, you don't function. Is that? When Adam was formed, he didn't function. When did he start functioning? Adam started functioning when God only blew breath in him. So you formed to be filled so that you can function. So we need the breath. So we see that God forms him, and the Lord formed Dan, and amazing is his form. And some of the women, you've got an amazing form there. God forms him. So when we look at just how amazing, look at the eye. If you just think of the eye would mean nothing to interpret the world and the colors and all these things if God had not blown the breath in us. It would be dead, but now because there's a breath of life, it changes. We can perceive and we can enjoy. So we need the breath of God. And the word for breath, it says there's the ruach, the spirit of God. And he says he blew the breath of God into Adam. So let's just recap. Adam is formed from the dust of the earth. So this is what happens. You need to understand or catch this. So Adam is formed of the earth. He's earthly, but he starts to live when he receives a breath from that what is heavenly. All right, so he's formed out of the earth, but he's made alive by that which comes from heaven. So we cannot do on earth without that what gives us life and gives us motion that comes from heaven. Come on. There's something that we need to make us move. So you need a breath. You need something. So there's the reason that I want to speak today, because when we come together, we are called what? You didn't know you're going to write tests this morning. We are the body. We are the church, isn't it? We are living organisms. So my question is this, is that I want to get to the point that sometimes what we find is that the church is trying to move on the earth with that what is earthly, not heavenly. Come on. We cannot move without the breath of God. We cannot do what he calls us to do without his breath. But so many times the church tries to move without the breath. Paul says, I didn't come in a display of eloquent words and all these things. He says, I come with the demonstration of what? Spirit and power. Spirit and power. And the reason that the spirit and power happens, he says, the thing that causes shifts to take place is not because we are eloquent in speech, because that is earthly. That is just human form without the breath of God. He says, but the reason we shift things is because of spirit and power, because I'm filled with the breath of God. Come on. So the wind, the breath of God, plays an important part in our lives. And this is what we need to understand, that it's individual, but God calls us today as a church. And he calls the church the body. Adam was formed, he had a body, and the body was filled with breath. So the church needs to be filled. The body cannot live if we're not filled with the Spirit, the breath of God. Come on. The Bible says, Ephesians 1:22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Then he says, verse 23, which is his body. So he says, he gave to us the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all things. So in the same way that you are breathing, have you ever wondered why God made us to breathe the whole time continuously? Why couldn't he just go and fill Adam one time with breath and then he just live? Have you thought about it? Just one time, why not fill him with breath and that's it? Why the consistent need to breathe, you know, that we need to do this? Why can't God just put a never-ending breath into us? Because living things need motion. Whenever something stops, it dies. When water becomes still or stale, it starts to rot. Why is the Dead Sea dead? Because there's an inflow, but there's no outflow. There's an inflow. So whenever we receive, and there's just the inflow, but there's never a release, there's never movement, there's never a flowing out, things become dead. So God comes, and have you thought about it? It's actually inconvenient to breathe the whole time, you know, continue its work. But let's just all stop breathing for a couple of minutes, okay? If we all hold our breath in 2 minutes, most of us will pass out, all right? In 5 minutes, we all should be dead. So there's a need for consistent movement to stay alive. Because whenever something stops in your life, it starts to die. And the body without breath is not alive. So he calls the body, or the church, the body. He calls the church a body of Christ, which means the church should have breath. My question is, does the church have breath? Do we see, and not just this church, but do we see the church of God, his body, do they have breath? Are they alive? Is there movement in the body or not? Because we think that we breathe, but what do we do? Sometimes I wonder if the church forgot to breathe. We need to breathe again. We need to find the breath of God. You know what we are good at? If we don't know how to breathe, we do artificial breathing. We do artificial breathing. We breathe with human systems. We breathe with human thinking, isn't it? We go to the corporate world and we look what they do, and then we take strategies and systems and all these things, and we're trying to import that into the church, and then we call it breathing. That's what we do. But it's artificial breathing. It's earthly. It's not heavenly. We are formed from the earth, but we need to be filled and moved with that what is from heaven, not earthly. God says, don't pray and say, you know, give me systems to inform how my thinking should work. No, he says, pray what? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not that one, eh? Hallowed be thy, that's a little boy. And he says, do you know, God? He says, Howard. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay? He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy king, you see, we need his kingdom. That's what we need, a kingdom. How do you think his kingdom come? For the same reason Adam breathes, and every minute he breathes, he needs to breathe in and he needs to breathe out. He's reminded that although I am from earth, I am filled with the breath from heaven. Although I'm from earth, that what makes me alive comes from heaven. So the reason you're breathing in this movement is to remind you that although you're here from earth, you breathe because there's something from heaven on you. Something on the inside that you need the breath of life. Come on. Every time a sailboat sails, it knows that it's relying on the wind that pushes it. It knows that it relies on the wind. How many of us like sailboats, your sails are down, we don't capture the wind anymore. We just live with artificial systems. And I'm talking about the spirit, if you don't know yet. But we don't catch the wind. Let's go to the Old Testament, and I'm going to just stay there for a while. And then after this, we're going to baptize. So we're not going to be long. I think for those who baptize, we'll let them keep their breath for a while. We'll just keep them down under for... So when they come up, they get a real new breath. Ezekiel 37, you know this passage about the dry bones. But let's go and look at it again, because it's so specific about the wind of God. So it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel 37:1, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. The hand was the hand here, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Every believer of us who doesn't start his day with the hand of the Lord is upon me is most likely busy with entertainment or religion. You can say, ouch. We are not called, isn't it, to be motivational speakers. We're not called for entertainment. We are called to bring the hand of God into motion, isn't it? That what? So if you don't start with the hand of the Lord is upon me, what are you doing? What are you busy with? Where does God call you? Because the world can do that. The world can entertain and do it better than the church. I am here today not because of entertainment. I am here today because the hand of the Lord was upon me, and I have a desire to be in his presence. I have a desire to live for him. I have a desire to move. There's no better thing than the presence of God, isn't it? There's no better place to be. And if we want to give the world something, we got to start with the hand of the Lord is upon me. Amen? Do you start and do you live with the hand of the Lord is upon me? And how many churches, just ask this question, how many churches do you wonder exist in the world of dry bones because the hand of the Lord is not upon them? Because they live and you see, because how many times, and we see this all over, being a leader or being a Christian or being a pastor, whatever, it's a calling, it's not a going to. In other words, what I mean, it's not a going to, it's not a means to. It's not a business plan. It's not a means to an X5. It's not a means to a red suit and nice shoes. Come on. This is your calling. It's not a means to something. You are awful quiet. It's not a way to influence. Instead of preaching the gospel, we become influencers today, isn't it? People have strong Instagram accounts or social media accounts and all these things. And when you talk to them, they're actually like chaff. There's a lot of the word about wind that says, like chaff, we are blown away. We are blown away. The wind comes and like chaff. You see, so we have these great followings in this image and this artificial breathing. But when we speak really, that there's no depth. There's no substance. There's no weight. Like chaff, we are just, you know, that's why cults and sects and false religions and these things come. Because they don't know how to really give the breath of God. So we need to give them, we need to make up something to make people move. We need the breath of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the real thing. Come on, say, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Say that again. So that's what he says. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley. You know how many times we make the mistake that we think that the church is on the mountaintop. The church here is not on the mountaintop. The church here is in the valley. Oftentimes we think that when we get born again, you know, becoming a Christian or serving God is our way to the mountaintop. Just think about it. Why do you serve God? Do you want to attain something? Is it your way to a mountaintop? Because God says he takes Ezekiel and he puts him, he puts him in the valley. And some of us, we need to look around in the valley that God has put you. It says the Spirit of God put him in the midst of the valley, and he says, move around. And what does he see? He says, hey, this valley is full of bones, full of bones. Now I want to tell you, just think of, how did you get saved? How did you get saved? You most likely got saved because somebody was in your valley. When you were in a valley, somebody was in your valley and preached, and you heard the gospel and saved you in your valley. Your valley of dry bones, come on. It was not on a mountaintop. It was down in the valley. I got saved when I was small. I got saved again when I was really in a valley. God had to do some things in my life. But you get saved in the valley of dry bones, and sometimes we are so occupied with the person next to us, isn't it, that we're not touching the field that God has allotted to us. You look at the field and say, look at this place. It's just dry bones. And you're moaning and groaning, isn't it? Am I going too fast? You must really see your face. One of the cameras must maybe be put here, and then I hope it stirs something that maybe you're thinking. The thinking cap is on. That's good. Then you can think. I'll think with you. You see, there's so much work to be done. There's still valleys full of dry bones. There's still so much valleys full of dry bones. And one thing is that you have to understand that you are called by God. Come on. And when you're called by God, he's going to put you in a valley. My question is, what is your context in what you need to serve? Where does God put you? What does God require? What is the place that God has put you? Because if God put you there, he wants you there. If God put you there, he wants you there. Let me tell you, if God put you in the company that you're in, it's a reason he wants you there. That's the company wants you to work in. So instead of calling your boss a problem, call him a valley. Okay? Call him a valley of, not dry bone, call him a valley of opportunity. He might be a dry bone, all right? But what happens? Ezekiel is put there and he's got a word for the season. Although you're in a valley of dry bones, you have a word in your mouth for the season you're in, and you are praying to get out of this, but God says, I've put you there so that you can speak. Come on. Maybe you're not realizing exactly what you ought to do and what you ought to be. So my question is, in your valley, same question. Can these bones live? Can it live? It's an important question because we live by faith, isn't it? Thank God the prophet knew how to answer. And when he said, you know, he didn't say, well, it's very dead, or it's very dry. You know, they way past the expiry date. He didn't say that. God puts his prophet right in the midst of them and he says, can they live? You see, because your answer now determines your responsibility, what God calls you to. His answer determines the following consequences. That's what's going to happen now. You see, and often we say, the harvest field. The problem is not the harvest field. The Bible says, don't pray for the harvest field. He says what? Pray for the harvesters. Our problem is not the harvest field. Our problem is not the valley of dry bones. He says, can this bone live? You have to believe that God has got a calling on your life. This year, we're almost done with 2024, but I ask you still, will you be a voice that says, yes, these bones can live? Will you be a voice that says, if you answer, I don't know, how do you expect God to fill you with breath that gives movement and that gives life? Because as we're going to see now, it's when he answered yes that God says, prophesy the breath so that there's life. So it's by faith. It's not first have the life and the movement and then. No, God says, the valley of dry bones. Can you say yes? If you on the fence, if you say, I don't know, how do you expect God to fill you with the thing that brings movement? We need to have faith. So the question is, can these bones live? Because your relevance is determined by your understanding based on your faith. How relevant are you to your dry field? How relevant are you to your valley? Does it make sense? God says, can these bones live? You know what? Billy Graham said yes. Reinhard Bonnke said yes, and that's why it made the difference. That's why they could do what they'd done. Because they saw not a dead valley full of bones. They saw the possibility. Come on, they saw that, yes, these bones can live. Although we cannot see it. It's like when Jesus says, do not fear, although you can be afraid of things. Although there's something to be afraid of, do not fear. Although you see a valley of dry bones, you see, yes, it can live. Come on. So back to Ezekiel, he says, oh Lord, you know, and again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Come on. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You see, Jesus could just make them alive, couldn't he? You could just give the valley life again. But he says this, Ezekiel 37, 5 and 6. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you. Say breath. I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. You see, you need the breath of God to live. You need the breath. And then he says, I will lay sinews upon you. I will cause flesh to come upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So the word says, Ezekiel says, so I prophesy as I was commanded. Say commanded, not as I desired. He says, I prophesied as I was commanded, not as I thought. I prophesied as I was commanded, say commanded. Not as I was taught by culture to prophesy. He says, I was prophesy as I was commanded. You see, we don't get our prophecies from the media and the news and those things, come on. We get our prophecies from heaven. That's what God says. And he says, so as I start speaking, I'm prophesying to the bones. He says, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones come together. Let's see verse 9 and 10. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Come on. They became alive. I wonder how many churches are experts at managing dry bones. Isn't it? We tell that dry bone, just stand over there and greet them as they drive in. And we tell that dry bone to stand over there and greet the people and let them see it. Do all these things, but there's no life in it. I'm not talking about our church. All right. But how many places do? Filled with, we're just managing the dry bones. Just keep the dry bones busy. We need the breath of God to fill it. We need the wind of God to fill it. You know, in the book of Acts, the outbreak of the outpouring of the Spirit of God, the church was born. The church again is called the body. Church is called the body. The body needs what to live? It needs breath of God. The body cannot function without the breath. Without the breath. 120 in the upper room. It says a mighty rushing wind fills and God gives them breath. Has the church lost his breath? We need the breath of God in our lives. Not just the church. My question for you, have you lost your breath? Have you lost your breath? Are you breathing? I want to tell you, stop moving earthly. Stop with earthly wisdom and carnal wisdom or fleshly wisdom. Where's heaven? Where's heaven? What did God? He says to Nicodemus, if you are not born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God is where results come from. It's not our structures. It's not our systems. It's the breath of God that does something. I want you to burn with desire when you walk out today here. That it's not in your doing and efforts, but it's in the breath of God. Let me show you one more thing, then we're going to end off. Matthew 14, 22. There's a process. God matures us. Matthew 14, 22, we know the story of the people, the disciples rowing in the boat and the storm that comes. But there's deeper meaning to it. Jesus comes and says he makes his disciple to get into the boat and go ahead of him while he dismisses the crowds and go and pray. The account of Jesus walking on the water. And he says, go to the other side. There was something for them on the other side as well. So what is your other side? What is on the other side? What does God have for you? What's your other side of ministry? What's your other side of calling? Where are you moving towards to in your life? When God says, come to the other side, what does he have in mind for you? Do you know? There was something that he wanted to do. And it says, God made them to get into the boat. He told them, cross to the other side. Verse 24 says this, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves for the wind. Say wind. For the wind was against them. These disciples are rowing and they're going nowhere. The same with the church. We're rowing and we're doing and we're having systems. Often going nowhere because there's no breath in it. Because there's no life in it. We're lacking wind. And maybe in your life you're rowing but you're going nowhere because you're lacking wind. You're lacking the wind of God, the Spirit to move you. Ephesians 4 says, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to perfect man to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer, what? Be children tossed to and fro, and he says, carried by what? It says they're deceitful schemes. No. Is there more? It says that we are carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So wind is not the spirit as well, but wind represents doctrine. And he says he wants to mature us that we are not blown around by every wind of doctrine. So he puts them in a boat to mature them. Come on. That when the waves are beating, just think yourself as a disciple. You're in this boat and you're rowing and the waves are tossing you to and fro. And he says that when the waves of life come and there's a tossing, that you will stop being tossed to and fro, blown away or blown around by every wind of doctrine. He's maturing them. Because we move by every wind of doctrine. Every wave that hits your boat, you want to get out. Every time wave hits your boat, you say, I'm tired of this valley. I want to quit. I'm done with this. So he's maturing them that whenever the waves come, you're not blown away or blown around by every wind, but that you're stable. Because he said, go to the other side. There's an other side for you. And that's what God does. He matures us, but the breath needs to drive you. So he gives his spirit to lead us. What he does is he teaches them. He says that, hey, you need to learn that the wind outside is not more important than the wind inside. That's what he teaches, that there's a direction, there's a guiding in you. And whatever tosses to and fro outside is not more important than that what's on the inside. It's not more important than the storms you will face. But God wants his breath in you. As a believer, you need to know that as a voice of God in your valley, that the breath inside of you comes from heaven. And that the structures in you need to be kingdom structures. And we need the wind of God for structures. We need the wind of God to blow through our structures. Doesn't help. We have all these systems and structures, but there's no wind in it. If we take a flute, it's a structure. But for it to work, you have to blow, you have to breathe through it to make a melody. We can have all these structures, but God wants the breath so that the melody can be released. So whatever we do, even our structures, we need the breath and the wind of God. If you have structures in your life, you need to make sure that they align with His kingdom, His principles. Jesus teaches them, he says, you can't be tossed and be moved by every wind of doctrine, by every wave. So he comes to them and he walks on the water into their structure. Jesus is coming to his church as well. Jesus is coming to us because the church is busy rising. God is moving in his church. And you need to know that you are a candidate for the wind of God. Come on. As he moved in the book of Acts, that the same way you'll move through our church, that it will move through these chairs, that it will move and blow through your life. Come on. God wants to do something with you. Everything you've got to offer is an offering unto God. Everything you put on the table, it's for him. Why do we do this? Come on, it's for His glory and it's for His name's sake. I wanna challenge you that God wants to do something in your life. God wants to fill you with the breath of God. Do you have or have you lost your breath? Or do you have the breath? Because God wants to bring movement. That's why your chest moves, because it makes you alive. God wants to bring that life even to the valley of dry bones. Thank you, Father. Come on, just enter in. Now just the time with you and the Lord. And as we end off, we're going to get ready for baptism. And in a minute or two, we also do an offering. But just close your eyes. And just say, did I lose my breath? Or do I have the breath of God? What is the valley that God has placed me in? Is there a place where God calls me to? And instead of getting out, God says, that's the place I want you to be, so that you can start prophesying the breath and the wind to the bones, that they can live. God has got a place for you. There where you sit, just take a deep breath. Just start inhaling. And it's God saying, I give you life. I gave you life. But your life is not your own. Your life belongs to me. God calls you for more. Say, Father, maybe I've built structures, great things, models, systems, but there's no breath in it. Why don't you ask God this morning to say, come and blow through it. Holy Spirit, come and show me. Why don't you ask Him this morning to say, come and show me where and what, so that the breath of God can start blowing and bring life, even in your business, in that which you do. If it's just dead and mundane, you need the breath of life to start blowing through your workplace. Father, I pray that there will just be a release of your anointing, a release of your presence, a release of your Spirit. Even in our maturity, Lord, say, maybe you're at that place. Lord, I don't want to be tossed to and fro by every wave anymore, by every wind of doctrine, but Father, mature us to the perfect man and the measure of the fullness of stature of Christ. There's so much more for you. But this morning you need to know, you have to move with the wind. You cannot move on your own. You have to move with the wind. So Father, we thank you. We say thank you, Lord, for the Spirit. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for reminding us that there's more. Thank you for telling us, Lord, that your Spirit is ready to just move and bring a fresh blow. And why don't you just surrender this morning to say, Lord, I want it all. I want it all.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.